Okay. So just on a personal note, I'd like to thank Rabbi Shabtai for all his efforts to of Torah throughout the year. This Beis Midrash, the shul will not be the same without him, and really from the bottom of my heart, and I probably speak on the bottom from all our hearts, thank you so much. So the very interesting, I try to learn a little bit of Ish Kodesh, usually every Shabbos. Ish Kodesh is from the Pizetsen Rebbe in the Warsaw Ghetto. He was killed. And after the war, they found his writings buried in the ground. It was a miraculous story. So this is Parsha Shalach, 1940. The Rebbe writes, "Vayas kolei v'sa'om el Moshe v'yomar alei alonala v'yarashni osa ki yocha nuchala." Kolev tried to hush, tried to quiet the whole nation down. And he says, "Don't worry, we could do it. We could take over. We're going to be able to do it." Right before that, everyone's saying, all the Meraglim and all the, getting everyone very nervous with these giants and everything. So the Rebbe says a very, very interesting question. Just look inside. They said in a very, very practical, very rational thing. We saw this great, great nation there. We even saw a Malik there. We saw these great, great giants. A very practical thing. We're just Jews. We're not gifted with height, most of us. We're not playing in the NBA over here. So at the end of the day, Kalev's response back to them is like, "Don't worry, we could do it. Don't worry." Like, they just told you something very, very rational. And you're just telling them, like, "Don't worry, we're going to be able to do it." It's like when your kid is telling you something, like, and you really don't want to do it. She's like, don't worry, we can do it. Right? So says the Rebbe, why didn't he try to counteract what they were saying, their reasoning? He just says, "Oh, don't worry, we'll be able to do it." The Rebbe has a very simple explanation. Why didn't the Kalev, you know, why didn't he become one of those lawyers to try to, like, get into their reasoning about their being scared about all these giants? But what does he say? No, he says, "No, we'll be able to do it because HaKadosh Baruch Hu will help us." And Rashi says there that Moshe told us if we're able to do something, if it was something in Shemayim, we're able to build the ladders, we could do it. "Don't, guys, don't worry, we could do it." So the Rebbe says a very fundamental thing. The Rebbe was saying to the Jews, you could just imagine now, standing in the Warsaw Ghetto, telling them about an issue that Kalev was telling now. He's really basically saying the same thing. So at the end of the day, in a natural way, anything in a rational way, we're not, in a logical way, we're not able to beat those giants. Those giants are much bigger than us, we're not able to do it. At the end of the day, we're not living rationally. As a Jew, we live l'malim mitateva, we live above existence. We're not living in a rational, logical way. Says the Rebbe, a Jew has to know, down in his neshama, in his kishkas, Lo bilvad b'sha shiro mavo v'derech lishiyoso, gam api sichlo v'derech hateva yamin b'Hashem yoshiyoshiya v'yischazak. A Jew can't only believe in a Kadosh Baruch Hu when it's the rational way or the natural way that, okay, Kadosh Baruch Hu, help me. Says the Rebbe, even when things that look bleak and you'll never find the Yeshua there, ragam b'sha she'enu roach has v'chalila. You don't see the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to save you. Shumavo apisecha v'derech hateva. L'shiyoso yamin b'Hashem she'oshiyo v'yischazik b'noso b'tachuno. It says, dafka in the place where it's hard to see HaKadosh Baruch Hu, where there doesn't seem that salvation could come. In a rational way, how are Jews, 5'8 guys, supposed to be guys who are literally giants? Kalev was telling them, in a logical way, we can't do it. You know, it's not going to happen. But don't worry, we could do it. Meaning, don't stop looking at the world in a rational way. Kadosh Baruch Hu doesn't run on right? The world doesn't run on Duncan, right? Kadosh Baruch Hu doesn't run on nature. It doesn't run on nature. We live above time. Says the Rebbe, the second to last paragraph. The Adraban, just the opposite. Bishazu tov shlo yisakish lim so ezasecha. He says the Kalev actually specifically didn't find a rational answer back. Right? Because he wanted to show the Jews that it's not a time for logic now. Now it's a time to firmly believe in Kadosh Baruch Hu. As of Chas V'Chelil, Tuchah Amunus Ha'idei Zeh L'Abgam, U'Bagam Amunus U'Betochno B'Hashem, Yachol Latzor Seshuah Zoh Chas V'Chelil. Says the Rebbe, if you actually have a blemish in your faith in Emunah, that actually stops the Yeshua from coming. Says the Rebbe, we're going to see this from Rav Tzadik, how this actually works. When a person has Emunah, that's actually you're actually a facilitator for bracha in your life. You're a facilitator for actually bringing the salvation. And when a person has the opposite, when a person says, "I don't know how Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to do this for me," and he's constantly worrying, then you're literally closing the door on Kadosh Baruch Hu. Right, they say from Rav Shor. Rav Shor says, how do you say the word worry in Hebrew? The word worry in Hebrew is? Daiga. So Rav Shor, I remember right, I saw this a few years back. It says, Daiga is the first four letters of the Aleph base, minus the base. What's the base? Base is bitachon. When a person worries, it's a lack of bitachon. It's a lack of faith. It's a lack of saying, wow, I don't find a Kadosh Baruch Hu. But specifically says, the Rebbe says, when a person has faith, that actually is a key. It's a practical way. And mamish works to be able to draw down bracha, and that's exactly why here says the Rebbe that the Caliph didn't answer the back rationally. Why? Because it wasn't a time of rationale. It wasn't a time of logic. It wasn't a time. So at the end of the day, we're not able to beat these guys. They're much bigger than us. We have to take our ultimate amuna, and that'll counteract all the rationale. He says that's exactly what he says in it. Mamish, it's a very powerful line here. The amuna bitachon kazeh. He says that this faith and this bitachon Kadosh Baruch Hu hopefully will hasten also our own salvation, our own Yeshua. Very, very powerful words of Rav Tzadok. And if he actually, you know, I didn't give you the pages there, but literally 2 weeks before, the same year, 1940. I remember when I was coming back from Shalvim, coming back to New York, and I went on a Poland trip with my Rabbi Hendler Shlita from Shalvim. We were learning a little Ish Kodesh there. I remember looking at this line, and literally says the same Yisod on Shavuos in the ghetto. Said the same thing what he just said in Shalach. Says we know. I don't know what it's doing over here in Shavuos, but he says, and it's something we say all the time in Tehillim. Shil malos esayin al harim yani vozri. I lift up my eyes to the mountains where I'm going to have my salvation, my helper. So Zavar Melech says, "Ezri mi Hashem osem shemayim varetz." My helper will come from the Creator of shemayim varetz. So the Rebbe says, "We know Kadosh Baruch Hu created everything. Why dafka is v'lama hatshuva osem shemayim varetz? What is Kadosh Baruch Hu, the Creator of shemayim varetz? How does that have to do anything with him being my helper?" Says Rebbe, powerful thing. Because when a person actually realizes that Kadosh Baruch Hu created shemayim varetz in an instant, Kadosh Baruch Hu snapped his fingers and the world was there. He created the world. It says the same way Kadosh Baruch Hu created the world out of nothing. It says the same way Kadosh Baruch Hu also bring Yeshua in a very, very quick way. It says, right, Shalom, may any of Ezri, what's the answer? Where is my helper going to come from? The answer is, Ezri mi Hashem osei shemayim v'aretz. The same way Kadosh Baruch Hu created the shemayim v'aretz out of nothing, the salvation will come from nothing. But it firmly believes, it starts with the faith. It starts with emunah. I just want to be able to close with two more things. So I saw this... You know, sometimes when you see different things in Sfarim, there are different messages. And I saw this a few weeks ago, and I haven't been able to bring it up. We know that two of the Aseres HaDibros were from Kadosh Baruch Hu. Anochi and V'lo Yelecha. And Medrash says, Asa mitzvah achas, mosrin lo malach echad l'shomro. When a Jew does a certain mitzvah, you create a certain angel that's there to be able to guard you. However, he says there's two mitzvahs, specifically one mitzvah, that when you do that mitzvah, Kadosh Baruch Hu doesn't send a malach. Kadosh Baruch Hu sends himself. And what's that mitzvah? That's the mitzvah of Anochi. Of Anochi Hashem Elokecha. That's not one of the Aseres HaDibros only. Anochi Hashem Elokecha, as we said before, I think we said on Yisrael, Anochi Hashem Elokecha from the Sefer HaChinuch is the firmly believe in a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Says Rav Tzadok HaKohen in Torah Mem Aleph, there's one mitzvah that Kadosh Baruch Hu doesn't send a malach when you do. He sends himself. And what is that? That is the mitzvah of a moon. When a person has a moon in himself, when a person has a moon in Kadosh Baruch Hu, Kadosh Baruch Hu davka comes himself. Lekach b'schar anochi Kadosh Baruch Hu ba'atzma shomra. When a person has faith, that literally brings out, doesn't just draw down their moon. That brings down a Kadosh Baruch Hu. That's exactly what Rabbi Nachman was saying. That's exactly what we're talking about Rabbi Nachman at the other shir. That is exactly what the Pizetzer was saying. What does it mean that when the Kali was telling the Jews over there that the Meraglim, these people are huge, oh, don't worry, we could do it. He's saying, no. If you have a muna, that'll actually bring down bracha. And says Rav Tzadok, what does that mean, they'll bring down bracha? That doesn't bring down only a malach. That brings down Hashem. So that means the next time we hear something from the doctor, chas v'shalom, or we hear something going on in the world, chas v'shalom. Okay, we have to do our shtadlus. But at the end of the day, the number one cure is our muna. Right? And I know from my own grandfather. My grandfather went through the war. So the one thing that the Nazis couldn't take away from him was his muna. It means that his whole family died. But he had a emunah every single day, no matter what. And he said, if you lost your emunah for 1 second, it was finished. I just want to say one last thing, and then we'll close it up over here. This is a book from Rabbi Weinberger, Rabbi Moshe Weinberger. And he quotes an amazing story of the Eish Kodesh. I thought it would be very apropos to be able to say it here. One of the Rebbe's few students to survive the war, the Pizetzer's few students, was someone named Eliezer Bain, who related the following story. The Nazis had just invaded Poland in September 1939. At that time, untold numbers of people were killed in Warsaw. The Pizetzer Rebbe's daughter-in-law and sister-in-law were killed by a Nazi bomb near the hospital, and his own son, Ben Zion, was terribly injured as well. 2 days later, on the second day of Sukkot, just before Shabbos, Ben Zion succumbed to his injuries. During Chol Moed Sukkot, everyone in Warsaw was running for their lives. On Simchas Torah, the Hasidim were forced to speed up the Hakavos because the Nazis were roaming the streets searching for Jews. Rabbi Bain relates what happened on Motzei Shabbos, the first day of Chol Moed, just after the Rebbe had lost most of his family. He heard the Rebbe comment to a friend, "I have already been defeated in this war. May Hashem help the Jewish nation emerge victorious in this war." Rabbi Bain related the following story, which took place on Simchas Torah night, after everyone rushed out of Hakavos because of the danger. "There we were, less than a minute of broken and shattered Jews, reduced to nothing. Suddenly the Rebbe stood up and began to sing Esh Yisrael in the traditional Karlin melody with great enthusiasm and fiery dveikus, as he had done during Simchas Torah festivities in previous years. For more than an hour he continued to sing, revealing a great yearning for higher levels of spirituality. It was as if he was the only one in the room, completely removed from this world. Hot tears were streaming down from his eyes like rivers of water, while the sound of his voice caused hearts to tremble. Who would have believed that here was a man in the midst of mourning his only son, where the blood of tens of thousands of Jews were spilled onto the streets like water, and yet he was singing in honor of the Torah, which is eternal. Surely the nation to which Hashem gave his eternal Torah, which will also endure for eternity, nobody in the world will ever manage to defeat it." Slowly the feeling of gloom and despair began to subside. We became oblivious to our surroundings. To the Nazi Satan, running wild in the streets, to the exploding bombs, to the brutally murdered, we are floating in another world entirely. They were living Lamali Menateva. They were living in the world of Caliph, a Lamali Menateva. The Rebbe's singing grew stronger and louder, and we were all swept up by his fervor. It was as if everything was ascending to heaven, along with the flame that had burst forth from his heart. Every one of us felt how that innocent dove, Knesset Yisrael, a woman of valor, the crown of her husband, was spending a private moment with her beloved Kadosh Baruch Hu on this day of Simchas Torah. Even in the midst of Hester Panim, when Hashem's presence is hidden from us, we heard His voice calling to us from amid the darkness, the clouds and the fog. Come, let us rejoice together. At the end of the day, that's a very, very high level. But at the end of the day, I think it's so true. When a person has that faith, it brings on tremendous bracha. The Rebbe had every reason to cry, and he even said it. He said, "I was defeated," but he started a little bit again to be able to sing a little Eish Yisrael. And he said that everyone in the room just forgot about everything that was going on outside. It was as if nothing else existed. So Kadosh Baruch Hu should bless us. Now going into the summer, we should only hear Besoros Tovos. But when we do hear hard things, and when we do hear of those challenges in our own lives, in our personal lives, or in a national way, we must believe that the number one cure to bring anything in a bracha into the world is not the rational way. It's not the logical way. That's the way of the non-Jews. The way of the Jews, the way we focus in our own avodah Hashem, is building our emunah. And even when things look bleak, we don't think of rationale. We think of logic. We have to be able to tap into our emunah. And the more we talk about emunah, as the Kibbutz Rebbe says, "Hemanti ki adaber." The more you talk about it, then it'll actually become part of our flesh. So Hashem should bless us that we only have good things in our lives. When we do have those hardships, we're able to draw down the emunah, which will ultimately draw down the bracha. As Rav Tzadok says, that'll ultimately bring down the Kodesh Baruch Hu to bring the Yeshua. Sure. Amen.